Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.
It is 3 minutes after 7 o'clock. You are listening to Kaya 959. Better late than never. And of course, you're listening to Talk with myself, Sotumea. We are together for the next hour until 8 o'clock. But before we get into tonight's show, a very big thank you to Guguletu Mfubi. She has left the building. And of course, as usual, always having important business conversations. And if you missed out on anything that she was talking about, if you missed out on any of the shows right here on Kaya 959, simply visit kaya959.co.za and do catch a podcast as well as a Kaya Rewind of all the shows that we have right here on Kaya 959.
Kaya
959.
On the street, on the air.
It is now 3 minutes after 7, and of course, this evening, it's a Wednesday, so we always try to talk about things that are related to families and family matter, but today, it's a little bit different, because we got a letter from one of you guys, one of the listeners, who was basically asking and looking for help, and this is with regards to her sister. I'm going to read the letter out to you, and then after that, we're going to get into the conversation. We are going to be joined online by the general manager at Grants Administration, and that is of course at SASSA, which basically means that today we're talking about all sorts of social grants. If you know somebody that needs help with their social grants, if maybe you need help with your social grants, if you've got problems with applications and maybe it was terminated, whether you don't know if you are in the position to apply for a social grant, that's what we're talking about at the moment, everything that's got to do with social grants. And that of course is in relation to the letter that we received. So let me read the letter to you. The letter says, good day, Sotho. My name is Phindile Mahlangu. My sister was diagnosed with bipolar in 2008. Ever since, she's been surviving with the pills for 14 years now. However, she relapsed in March this year and was admitted on the 24th of March. One of the reasons was the financial state that she's in. She was getting grant money until it ended last year, December. She then went to apply for a grant. Today, she was told that they need to reassess her condition and she must come back after 3 months. Now, the question is, my sister is dependent on the medication. Does that not qualify her for a grant, number one? Number two, it has been proven that she can't live without the pills. Does it not make her qualify? She's been living with this condition for 14 years now and she will never get healed and not depend on the pills. I have so many questions that she's got and she's asking us to please intervene and help her with the process of trying to get her sister some sort of help. So we are going to get Pindile on the line. My producer Ernie right now is busy getting Pindile on the line so we can chat to her with regards to this matter. But in the meantime, let's just say hello first to the general manager at Grants Administration, that is of course at SASSA. Fanny, thank you so much for joining us and a very good evening to you.
Yes, good evening to yourselves and Kaya's and listeners at home.
Mm-hmm. Now, you listened to the letter that one of our listeners has just sent, Pindile, who basically sent this letter. We're going to get her now on the line so she can sort of tell the story herself. But she's basically asking for help with regards to her sister's social grant. Based off what we've just read with the letter, what would you say is the holdup? Like, where should she start now?
There's a few elements that I picked up from what you've read.
Mm-hmm.
The first one is a point that relates to her having gone, wanting to be assessed. The second element is the fact that she is on medication permanently,
mm-hmm.
and she wanted to understand by virtue of her being on medication permanently isn't that making her qualify for a grant?
Mm-hmm.
So there's those two elements that I picked up. Let's start with her having gone to the office and wanting to be assessed. And let me explain the process.
Mm-hmm.
Now, in fact, let me start it differently. Now, you'll recall last year when hard lockdown was introduced,
mm-hmm.
Government through the Ministry of Social Development and eventually through SASSA took a decision not to lapse some of the temporary disability grant recipients' grants at the time when they are supposed to be
mm-hmm.
lapsed, because temporary disability grants have got a period or a lifespan. So when that lifespan arrives, the grant comes to an end, mm-hmm. and the applicant, at the time when they apply, they get informed upfront. Part of the outcome letter that is given to the applicant when the grant is approved, it indicates the start and the end.
Mm-hmm.
So with hard lockdown as a result of COVID, the government did an assessment, and there was a conscious decision taken that everyone who was receiving a temporary disability grant that was supposed to have been cancelled at this period, it shall be continued up until this particular period. Remember, if it gets continued in a blanket arrangement like that, mm-hmm. it means somebody is carrying the cost.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
Somebody is carrying the cost. It's not an extension for free.
Exactly.
It doesn't mean that government has just got too much money, but it basically means that there was some calculated adjustment that were done, some money reserved to confirm that such a move shall be financed.
Okay.
So come the end of December, the government could not continue funding blindly like that. So as a result, all those grants that were supposed to have been ended in the course of the year, they were then ended at the end of the year, being December.
Okay.
So implying that, well, as far as temporary disability grant is concerned, a person who still feels that the condition has not changed, they will then come forward and bring it to the attention of SASSA. In this particular instance, it would be the case of Pindile. So that's what we had seen happening from January up until the end of March. We had a bulk process that we were going through, implying that all those people that were left, they were in the region of 200,000.
Mm-hmm.
So all those people who were left in December, they then started coming into SASSA offices across the country
to come and reassess.
Those that were feeling that their condition has not changed. There are others who didn't come, mm-hmm. because their conditions had become better. They had become better, or they would have found some form of employment, etc., feeling that I no longer need government mm-hmm. assistance.
Okay.
So people started coming through. But also remember that COVID did not affect citizens only.
Mm-hmm.
SASSA employees are citizens as well. They were equally affected. So as the pandemic was ravaging the country, SASSA as well had to find mitigations, find ways on which it can continue to service clients across the country,
okay.
without really stopping services, but ensuring that services continue,
okay.
even if it would have been not with a full complement, but with some staff at hand.
Okay.
So amongst things that have happened was that what we had seen was there was, when people started coming through from the start of January, a large number of people flocked SASSA offices in large quantity. And as a result, in an instance where you find an office, where we are running an office with possibly 20 staff, and maybe as a result of us trying to manage the risk of exposure and also manage the risk of, in case the staff that are there now are affected, how do we continue doing business
mm-hmm.
with some of the staff being at home, undergoing through quarantine? So we had to rotate staff so that we can continue rendering services. So when offices started being flooded, so that clients could not be assisted at a one shot. If there's 200 clients outside in an office that normally runs with 20 staff, surely we reduce staff. So meaning,
and that makes sense. That
people have to be given appointments,
mm-hmm.
Had to be serviced by given time slots on which they have to come.
Right.
But let's put that on the side.
Mm-hmm.
For disability grants, to be specific, disability grant applicant, one of the pre-requirements is that Remember, disabilities comes in different forms. There are those that you can see with your own eye, but there's other disability
conditions. Right. Funny, before we get into that conversation, can I ask that we actually get Pindile into the conversation, and then we'll get into the different sort of disabilities, just so we can help her out first, so she can sort of ask the questions that she wanted to ask. Because, I mean, I think she was under the impression that, you know, like after the assessment, she's on the line, so she will tell us what it is that she wanted to say, in the sense that, has the assessment been done, and have there been any results after the assessment? So can I bring Pindile into the conversation?
Not a problem.
Great stuff. Pindile, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, Sita, how are you?
Good, thanks, and you?
Yeah, I'm hanging in there.
Yes, well, thank you so much for sending us a letter, and we'll do the best that we can to try and help you and your sister out. So you sent us the letter that we read out at the top of the show, at the start of the show, and you're basically saying that your sister suffers from bipolar and she lives on medication. She was on a temporary disability grant?
It was a temporary disability grant, and then, as I have said in my letter, that it ended in December.
Right.
Yes, and then after December, she was not well. She started stressing so much because of she's been applying also, not getting anything that she can do.
Mm-hmm.
And then after that, she relapsed, as I have said in my letter, that in March, she was admitted to a hospital. And then the hospital, which from 2008, as I said, that she was diagnosed with bipolar.
Mm-hmm.
They admitted her, and then after this, I think she stayed for about 2 to 3 weeks there, and then after that, she was released.
Yes. So what I wanted to ask you, Pindi, because the line is not very good, and I'm scared that it's going to cut at any moment now, has she reapplied for the temporary disability grant? So you said that she needs to go and get reassessed. So she has reapplied. Has she been reassessed?
She actually went to apply on the same day that I sent you an email.
Okay.
And then the response was, when she went to see the doctor, the one apparently who's supposed to decide whether she's going to get it or not.
Mm-hmm.
The doctor said she must come back after 90 days, which is 3 months.
Mm.
So my question is, Sutu, why must she wait for 3 months? What they need to see, because of this person has been taking the pills for 14 years.
Okay.
What difference are they going to see between those 3 months?
Okay, let's on the line, we are joined by the general manager at Grants Administration, and he is, of course, from SASSA. His name is Fanny Sitoha, and he can maybe help us with that situation. Fanny, she says 90 days. Why, you know, is this standard procedure? How does it work?
Yes, it is, and maybe let me explain it in this manner. What I'm getting, well, already with that response, I can confirm that she would have been there before, and she would have been declined, and then she went back again. So, and normally, if you had once been assessed, your next return period, the time period that we had put in place is 3 months, because otherwise, imagine the entire system will be flooded, and at some stage the state will not be able to afford it, because remember, these assessments that we pay for them, because mm-hmm. they're not done by officials, they're done by doctors, and they're done by private doctors that we are paying. So if a person is declined today, and then tomorrow they come back again and they get assessed, and then the next week they come back and,
yeah,
and
get assessed, it wouldn't work. Yeah.
It wouldn't work. And normally, when the person is declined, remember, a person goes there saying, I think I'm disabled, or I'm disabled. And when they go there, amongst things that the SASSA doctors require are records, medical records of the treating doctor.
Mm-hmm.
So because we are not conducting all assessments within the hospital facility, it is even worse with COVID that most hospitals are not allowing us to assess in their facilities because of the risk of exposure.
Mm-hmm.
So we normally have a form which we give to the client and say, take this form, go give it to your treating doctor. That form, it seeks to bridge the fact that we cannot access your whole file.
Mm-hmm.
That gives us your entire medical history and the extent of your condition.
Okay.
So that form it gets completed by the treating doctor.
Let's find out from Pindile if they filled in that form. What is that form called, Fanny?
It's a medical referral form.
Okay. Pindi, have you filled in, has she filled in the medical referral form?
I'm not sure to read that form, but currently she has a form which must be completed. I'm not sure if it is that form.
So the form is still yet to be completed?
Yeah, the form needs to be completed, but I'm not sure by who. But my question, I'm hearing what, is it Dr. Fanny?
He is from SASSA. He is the general manager at grants administration at SASSA. So he's not a doctor. He's from directly from SASSA. So basically, he's saying that there's a form that then that needs to be filled in, which is a medical referral form. So what I'm asking is, did your sister receive a medical referral form? Has she filled in this medical referral form or?
No, the only thing that she received from the hospital where she was admitted is the letter from the psychologist, which states exactly when she started to be sick. Because of that psychologist, they had the file, as Fanny is saying, that they must have the history of the patient. So the person who wrote that letter, that person was having the file because she's been a patient from there, from year 2008, yes.
Okay. So there was no need for a medical referral file, is what you're saying? Oh, I'm really hoping that we're not having trouble with our lines again. But Fanny, you got what she said?
Yeah, I got what she said, but allow me to finish the explanation.
Yes,
because
please.
I don't think you are doing justice to this part.
Okay.
So the form seek to collect the medical history of this client, but not only that. On the form, we are also saying, because we are asking questions there, we're asking questions on the form, which the treating source must be able to complete or to respond and give us more details. But we're also saying on that form that attach any other additional evidence. So the letters, I must be honest with you, Soto, the letters from the doctors, we receive them daily.
Okay.
Some of them, they are like three lines. We get many letters, client that comes with many, many letters that are too short, that are not comprehensive enough to allow a doctor who is not a treating source to be able to make a recommendation, if you get what I'm saying.
I understand what you're saying. Yeah.
So for that purpose, that form, with the questions that are on that form, they are very elaborative, together with the additional information that we are guiding the doctor to provide, so that if there's some info that are contained in the file that the doctor can make copies and attach there, or any other additional information which the client himself may have at home, which might have been provided, which is supplementary information which can help justify, assist the doctor in making a justification.
Okay.
They should be provided. Now, the shortcoming that we normally encounter in this process, you'll have doctors, you'll have treating sources that would complete the form and not become detailed. The information that is provided
is too vague.
Suggest that with this condition, it is subject to change. If this person was to continue with the medication regime that they are on over a period of 2-3 months, the person can be in a state that may not have to be in need of a social grant, and that's why normally there will be a rejection on the application, and when the person comes back after 2 weeks, they will be told, please come back after 3 months. It's just to make sure that at least over a period of 3 months, if you do come back, they would have been possibly changed. But we're getting much guide. The doctors are getting it from the treating sources.
Mm-hmm.
What the treating sources are writing as the actual condition that they've been treating over time, specifically on disabilities that are hidden. Because disabilities that are hidden, when a person is sitting in front of you, you can't tell if a person is
a schizo
or not. You can't tell. But it is the treating doctor who can elaborate, who can go to town and even give supplementary facts if there is any, or any other information that
let me ask you. So are you saying that the reason why she could have had, she could have been told to come back in 3 months, or possibly a possible reason could have been that the information on her condition was vague, or there could have been other issues which have meant
It could have been that the medical supplementary information that was provided, which was supposed to help SASA making a decision, was not adequate.
Okay.
But I want to say this, Soto.
Mm.
She must not be hopeless, because she has a recourse, because we have a recourse mechanism in place which she can then follow. In an instance where she feels, no, I'm thinking that these SASA officials, I'm being subjected to unnecessary unjustice.
Mm.
There is a reconsideration and appeal mechanism that that is in place. Even when she has been told, no, come back after 3 months. If she feels, I can't wait
for
3 months, I do believe that what I've given them is substantive enough for them to be able to make an informed decision. She can then request to be given forms for her to be able to request us to reconsider our decision. So under this circumstance, what will then happen is a reconsideration is going to be looked at by different officials, completely mm-hmm. different people than those that had looked at the application. They are going to look at what was provided, what SASA has at hand,
mm-hmm.
and see if ever there was any money, any unbecoming decisions that might have been taken, or whether she was unnecessarily mistreated. Then chances are that they could overrule the initial decision. There's actually even an appeal board. She can request to lodge an appeal.
Mm-hmm.
They will guide her in submitting an appeal application. There is a panel of law experts, doctors that are not working with SASA, that we don't even know their names.
Yeah.
I haven't seen them. I know that they exist. I know that I can channel clients that believe that they've got a strong case to them. They're going to be assisted for free. The client does not have to pay anything.
Mm-hmm.
The client does not have to go climb taxis and go to Pretoria.
So
the
how
same
is
office where she went, they can help her complete that process. They won't even question her if she says, I want to lodge an appeal or a reconsideration.
Yes, and that's because what I want to find out.
Those are statutory processes that exist. So the staff knows that whatever the decision that would have been taken there in that office, it can always be overruled. And if it is overruled, there is no hard feelings.
Okay.
Nothing personal.
So at this point, you're saying that she needs to go back. So the sort of help that we can give to Pindila now is that her sister needs to go back and lodge an appeal. And she does this by going...
Exactly, by going back to that office and request that she would want, she's not happy with the decision
mm-hmm.
that was taken by SASA on the application of a disability grant. Then they will then explain to her the process. They will give her the form, or they will assist her complete the forms on the spot.
Okay, Pindile.
Hello, sister.
Hi, yes. So did you get that? I mean, I think there is a little bit of help for you here, well, at least for your sister, that you can actually go in and lodge an appeal against the decision that was taken. And all she needs to do is basically go to the SASA office where she applied and lodge an appeal and take it from there. So she doesn't have to wait for 3 months. In other words, like, you don't have to wait for 3 months. She can actually go even as early as tomorrow and lodge that appeal and not have to wait for 3 months. I just want to find out before we conclude this conversation, Fanny, how long does it normally take for the appeal?
Like I said, we are now talking of a different a group of experts, not really SASA, but I know they don't take long. If, for example, they would have received the appeal application on the 1st, before the end of the month, she would have been having an outcome with her.
That's very good news. So, Pindile, lodge that appeal. You know, help your sister lodge that appeal. At least take it to her SASA office so she can lodge an appeal against the decision that was taken.
Okay, Sasa, thank you so much. I'll do that. Thank you.
Thank you very much. And thank you so much for reaching out. You know, we try to do the best that we can in order to help. So, Fanny, earlier on, you were explaining the different types of disability grants. And I cut you off because I was trying to get Pindile in so we can sort her out, because the line, her line is just... it's not great. So I was afraid that we were going to lose her. So you were going into the different sort of grants, right? Especially the disability grants. Can we go back to that conversation? First, we were talking about a temporary disability grant, and this, you said, is for people that have disabilities that are not easily, that you can't see with the naked eye. You know, these are people that might have mental illness and all sorts of other, mental disabilities that you are unable to see. And then what's the other one as well?
Yeah, it is not really meant for disabilities that you can't see with your naked eye. I was just giving an example.
Okay.
That to justify the point that why the need for medical information from the treating source. It is because some disabilities you can't see them with your own eye. So somebody who's treating the person should be able to do a referral, give adequate background and the extent of this problem which the person is having, so that the SASA doctor, because the SASA doctor is not a treating, we're not treating people, we are assessing. So if what we, the basis of our assessment requires that that assessment be supplemented by information from the treating source, because with what we are facing here, like I gave an example of a schizo, you will not be able to tell that this person, in the next 30 minutes, they can be a different person altogether.
Okay.
But a referring doctor can elaborate that, so that then when the person comes, when the person is sitting before SASA, doctor can be able to relate through the interview process, through the physical assessment, plus the supplementation that would have been provided by the treating doctor. But disabilities that are provided, the grants that are provided under the disability grant, they're in two forms. It's either you get a permanent disability or you get a temporary disability.
Okay.
Many people that would have been given temporary disability grant, majority of them, they do. At some stage, they do fall off and fall off for good, because it would have been they would have been truly temporarily disabled. But then you have those that are disabled permanently, and even if you would have been classified as permanently disabled, we may request that you come back after a period of 5 years, that we reassess you. Because many things can happen. Besides the disability element, your financial status can change. You can win lotto. You can get employment. Because remember, we're working with people that are living with disability. So it is also possible that people that are living with disabilities can be employed. So hence, at times, we may want you to come back, so that we reassess you. Others, they could be lucky, would have had other opportunities exposed to them, which may result in them not having to continue to receive a grant. So either way, SASA may want you to come back, except with temporary disability grant. Once you have been given temporary disability, we don't really want you to come back, because after that period that we have pronounced to you, the day that we gave you the grant, when it comes, we lapse you, and that's it.
Okay.
We're not going to write you another letter saying, come back. No. You were given a temporary disability grant for that period. Only if you feel and if you believe that your condition has not changed, then you can come with supporting information, medical records, and you can then be reassessed by a SASA doctor.
Okay.
Deliberately, we are using medical doctors, because in the past we used to use panels, where we were using maybe a teacher, some social worker there, some members of community. There was a lot of allegations until that model was phased out, and the medical doctors were therefore introduced, medical officers were introduced as health professionals who have been substantially trained in that field for them to be able to do the assessment and make for us a final decision.
Okay. It is almost 7:45. You're listening to Kaya 959. Coming up in about 17 minutes or so will be My Money and Me. And that, of course, will be with Sumitra Naidu. And today having very interesting conversations talking about customary marriages.
That's right, Suju. So the president has just approved the amended customary marriages bill. So basically, you know, if you have a traditional ceremony and you haven't actually got paperwork in court, which is allowed in your custom, you now can actually get a share of the estate if you happen to separate. So if you have a divorce, and in certain cases you can divorce without doing it the legal route, but it is recognized in your custom, you are now entitled to a part of that estate before you walk out without anything,
with nothing,
because there's no paperwork to show for it. So this basically means that you can get that. So we're going to unpack that a little bit to make sure that you have the correct paperwork in place to ensure that you get that. We're also looking at multiple streams of income. Mm-hmm. And, you know, just before the break, we were talking about the fact that the tax man must get
exactly
share of
before
everything.
You get anything. Yeah.
Yes. Mm-hmm. And, you know, in the world we're living in now, we always need two or three jobs to sustain ourselves. Mm-hmm. So how do all of those streams actually get taxed, and whether you are supposed to be paying taxes on those different streams? And then we look at provisional tax as well, which is, you know, you paying twice or four times in a year. In our money lessons feature, we're talking to Lasizwe Dambuza, and he's a South African influencer, very famous. He's famous on YouTube as well. But we're talking to him about his money, how he manages his money, how he made his money as well.
Okay, so that is coming up in the next 15 minutes right here on Kaya 959. That is My Money and Me, and it's hosted by Sumitra Naidu. Otherwise, we go back to the conversation that we were having, talking about social grants. And obviously joining us on the line, we've got Fanisi Tukha, who is the General Manager, Grants Administration at SASSA. Taking your calls on 086-000-959, we've got Malebo giving us a call. Malebo, good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
Hi, good evening.
Hi, how are you?
I'm good, thanks. How are you?
Good.
I'm good, thank you. Yeah, I'm just making inquiries with regards to my mother's old age grant. Last month, she did not get her money from the bank because she gets her money from the bank. So the bank, they sent her to SASSA office. SASSA office sent her back to the post office. She was like going up and down until eventually it was discovered that her money was withdrawn somewhere in Cape Town, Table Bay, and she is based in the Northwest.
Sure.
So it looks like this is a common problem amongst the old age grants these days, because she was not the only person whose money was stolen.
Withdrawn elsewhere.
Yeah, I was stolen or withdrawn elsewhere. So I'm not so sure what is the problem. But eventually the post office made her complete the form last month, and then they have asked her to come again. They have given her the date of the 14th of June to see if maybe she may be able to, they may be able to assist her. So I don't know how is this problem can be solved.
Yeah.
Because it looks like it's an ongoing thing among the old age people.
Let's find out from Fanny. Fanny, is this a problem that you've seen before? I'm sure you've seen this problem before where somebody's money is literally being withdrawn from elsewhere.
Yeah, I think what I can indicate is that I think with her, from what she has just said, it would seem the first of his is indeed assisting her. But what I would want to confirm is that in an instance where people feel that those people that have, that are currently using the SASSA card at their disposal, and the feeling is that they feel vulnerable with their money getting there, amongst things that we are allowing is for any of the current beneficiaries to be able to go and open a private bank account, and we can have their money getting into that particular account.
Uh-huh.
Specifically, if there is a feeling that their current account has been compromised. Because remember, one of the things that we enjoy the living in these times of digital age, but with that comes issues of cyber security and cyber threats and et cetera, et cetera. So in an instance where your account would have been compromised in any form, and you feel that you are not comfortable, we are allowing them to move from whichever
from collecting,
compromise, and go to an alternative one. They can go choose any other bank, and we'll definitely be able to assist them.
Okay.
But I think we'll, in an instance that she does not get help, I will be willing to be able to assist her at the end if she's not being assisted by the South African Post Office.
Okay. Is it fine, Fanny, at the end of the show, we'll ask our producer to take Malebo's numbers, and maybe if she still needs help, we can, forward them to you.
Yeah, I'm very open to that.
Great stuff. So, Malebo, I'm going to put you back to Ernest. If maybe, your mother still needs help, then maybe you can get in touch with Fanny, and he will be able to help you with that. Hopefully that helps.
Yes, I will appreciate that, ma'am.
Thank you very much. So we put Malebo back to Ernest, who will take her details, and then, of course, we'll work on getting her in touch with Fanny. We've got another caller on the line. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us.
I'm good, and you?
Good, thank you.
Good. So I had this topic about transfer social grants and stuff. So it's calling us about someone, you know. So, okay, can the person remain anonymous?
That's fine. That's fine.
Okay. So this person lost his thumb, ne? He's on his right hand.
His thumb.
Yes, his right thumb.
Mm-hmm.
And he received social grant, I think, for 6 months.
Mm-hmm.
And after that, there was nothing, there's still no change. Sometimes he suffers because he gets to a job, then he can't use his hand most of the time because he only works on hard labor and stuff,
mm-hmm,
you know.
Mm-hmm. Was this a temporary disability grant?
Yes, it was.
Okay. And then has he gone to reapply for it?
No, but I'm asking on terms of that.
Can he reapply?
Yes.
Okay. Fanny, I think it's a similar situation that we were dealing with earlier on, but he wants to know if the person can reapply.
Look, the person can go back and reapply, but once again, under this circumstance, I'm also picking up some elements because, remember, he got a disability grant for 6 months, and I can already start suspecting what might have been happening there, even though that I was not there and didn't explain. Surely it would have been at the time that he had just been injured, wherein he was not functional at the time, he couldn't enter any labor market, etc. But those things don't get taken into account when you're applying for a disability grant, because we don't consider whether your disability will hinder you from being able to enter any labor market. And in this instance, I'm getting a sense that he would have already healed, his finger would have already healed. And amongst things that we do require, remember, I've indicated earlier on that one of the things is that there's supposed to be a medical referral.
Yes.
Because your medical history, we do need it, and such information may not be older than 3 months. So the question is, if he does come, and that requirement, I've repeatedly explained it, will he be able to produce the medical history that shows the level of disability, because you can be disabled only to find that you have healed.
Mm-hmm.
And in this instance, his finger would have healed. I've got a brother who has lost two fingers.
Mm.
He is working at a mine, and he's a laborer. So with him, he can come and apply, but like I said, amongst things that we will need is that medical referral report that comes from his treating source, and it may not be older than 3 months,
mm-hmm,
that outlines the level of disability. the level of disability and the extent of the condition, etc., etc.
But he would have to go to his original SASSA office, eh?
Yeah, he'll have to go to the nearest SASSA office that he can access.
Okay, I hope you got that. I think we've lost that caller. We've got another one on the... Hey, are you still here?
Got it. Thank you.
Oh, yes, yes, you got that. Okay, thank you, sir. Yeah. Okay, I thought we lost you, but thank you so much. So just go to your SASSA office.
Okay, thanks, bye.
Thank you very much. I'm still taking your calls in the last dying minutes of the show. We've got another caller on the line. Good evening, and thank you so much for joining us. Hi, how are you?
I'm fine, thanks, and you?
Good, thank you.
Yes, thank you. You're speaking to Sabir Ndlovu.
Mm-hmm.
Actually, I'm calling on behalf of myself, actually.
Yeah?
Yes, I've got a heart problem. That means in 1996, I did a bypass operation.
Mm.
Yes, then I've been applying. Currently, I'm not working. I've been not working for entire 15 years.
Mm.
Yes, I've been applying for a grant. Then I was only given once in 1 year. That is about 5 years back.
And since then, nothing.
Until nothing. And then last year, I went in for another operation that was a pacemaker operation.
Mm-hmm.
And then I've been applying since after doing a pacemaker operation around sometime last year in April.
And still nothing.
And then, yes. And then I've been applying, been rejecting. And then I was only given 6 months, which is expiring next month.
Okay, so you were given a temporary disability.
Yes, I was given a temporary disability for 6 months. So of which I don't know what's going to happen after that 6 months. It's been lapsed. And still I'm not working and I'm not in a condition that I'll get another job. Okay. I'm 52 years.
Okay, let's find out. I'm funny in this situation?
I think my advice is, because if his condition still requires him to be treated, the important part it would be for him to be able to continue with his treatment so that at the time that he has to come back to SASSA, he can be able to produce that evidence. But if he does have that strong belief that he is disabled, because the confusion here with a number of callers and many of those that are not calling, there seems to be an assumption out there that this grant is for people that are sick. So if you have got a chronic illness, you must apply for a disability grant, and that's not the case.
It's for people who are disabled, who cannot work.
It's for people that are disabled, who cannot be able to enter labor market. Remember, there is majority of disabilities out there, and there are people that are in the labor market with those disabilities. So this grant is not for people with chronic illnesses, because having a chronic illness does not mean you must receive a disability grant. Mm-hmm. Otherwise, then this country will run it down, because there's many people that have got chronic illnesses, possibly even myself and yourself.
Mm-hmm.
We have a chronic illness of some sort.
Mm-hmm.
But so on that basis, but if he's got that strong belief, that possibly SASSA might have made a mistake, and his feeling is that I really wish that somebody else must preside on my case. I have explained for the existence of an appeal and reconsideration processes that are in place, which his complaint or his request for appeal shall be presided for by a different panel. We are not even SASSA employees. We are outside of a SASSA stable. That's what they do.
Mm-hmm.
They look at those complaints. They look at supporting evidence, because you may find that a person now, when we talk appeal, he goes and starts taking out a whole lot of other medical records that they were never given to us when we took a decision.
Okay.
So we took a decision on the basis of
what
you have given us.
Okay, so he needs to go to a SASSA office as well and get an appeal, or?
Yeah, he can go to a SASSA office and get appeal forms. Alternatively, he can get on the SASSA website. These forms are there.
Mm-hmm.
All these forms that are there, including even medical referral forms. So people don't have to really go to SASSA and just to go get a medical referral form so that they can take it to their treating source.
Okay.
You can get into a SASA website, download it, print, and take it to a treating doctor. When you go to SASA, you already
have those documents.
That information completed, signed by a doctor, stamped with additional attachment. Or when you go to SASA, you could have been having that appeal or reconsideration form completed. You just go to SASA just to submit it so that they can have it dispatched for you.
All right. Okay. Thank you. Anonymous, you got that?
Yes, I did. Thank you so much.
Thank you. Thank you very much. And Fanny, thank you so much for staying the hour with us. We've come to the end of the show, but thank you so much for walking us through that conversation. Hopefully when we need help, we can call on you again, but thank you so much.
No, not a problem. Thanks a lot.
Thank you very much. So that was Fanny Setoga, who is the General Manager at Grants Administration for Grants Administration at SASA. And of course, talking about all sorts of SASA problems that you might experience. And that's it for us. I'm back tomorrow, same time, same place, right here on Kaya 959. Ramisa Tumea, it is good night.
Kaya Talk on Kaya 959. On the street, on the air.